Good morning, everybody. So I asked permission to do this since the speaker is my beautiful wife. She's beautiful inside and out, the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about her. Some of you may know some of these things. Some of you may not know anything about Brenda. Brenda is a woman truly of many gifts and many talents. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. When she was young, she was required. Her daddy came out of the Great Depression. She was the last of six children, I think it was, total. And so because of that, circumstantially, they required her to do a lot. She was cooking meals for the family at age 10, 9. She was taking care of animals, mowing with tractors and things at 9, 10 years old. So a lot was required of her, and her family, like a lot of ours, was somewhat dysfunctional. She didn't get a lot of thanks for what she did. But she developed, because of that, a lot of gifts and talents, and the key was she didn't get bitter about it. So when she became a believer in Jesus around the age of 18 or so, God started just bringing these things that she learned as a child out in her, and she's been such a blessing to people. I mean, some of the things, and I'm just touching on a few of the things, that she is my business partner. She's an artist. She's a graphic designer. She is an author of 6 workbooks. She is a remodeler. She is an interior designer. She has a background in that. She has a background in architecture. She's truly a Proverbs 31 person. She's a counselor, a marriage counselor. She's a prayer warrior. And most of all, she is a mighty woman of God, totally dedicated to Jesus, and totally an awesomest person that you'd ever want to meet, as sweet as all get out. So with many other things I could say, but I'll take up her message. So come on up here, honey. This is my beloved wife and mother and a grandmother, Brenda.
Thank you. Thank you. He's a little prejudiced. Okay. Well.
Bias, not prejudice.
Bias is a better word. I don't know. Okay. It's Mother's Day. And we have an ocean of beautiful women out here. Would you please stand for your mother? Would you please stand? We want to honor you today. Yes. And our ushers are delivering a beautiful flower to each of you because you're such a beautiful bouquet to the world, each of you. And in your guides, there's a bookmark. And everybody has one, even the men. And I want to encourage you. Last year, we had a few flowers left over, and so I took them to the restaurant where we ate, and I gave them out to mothers, and some of them almost cried. So this card is for you to use in a loving, evangelistic way to give your moms. First, I want to ask, are there any grandmothers here, too? Are there any great-grandmothers? Not yet. Okay. We usually have one or two. Okay, you can sit down. I want to read this card. Pull this card out. We're going to read it to our mothers today. It's called A Mother's Love. There's no love like a mother's. Her heart is filled with care. With Christ as her example, her Savior's love she'll share. A mother's love is endless, not changing for all time. When needed by her children, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, every one, for all their tears and heartaches and special work they've done. When days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on. Through many generations, God's blessings on each one. Be thankful for our mothers who love with higher love, from power God has given and strength from up above. So please share that with somebody. I know it will bless them. And know that we love you as mothers of Victory Church. And we have notes. They should have been in your worship guide. If you didn't receive one, Dustin has some for you. Hold up your hand and he'll get that to you. All right, there's a couple over here. So I'd like to open up with prayer. Let's get focused on the Lord here this morning. Precious God, we honor you and your word this morning. Let me be an encouragement to everyone that hears my voice. We open our hearts and minds to you, Jesus. Amen. The title of this message today is Heavenly Places. Let's look at the scripture found in Psalms 127, verses 3 and 4. That's in your notes, too. They're going to put it on the overhead. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. In order to encourage your children and other people that God has placed in your life to hit the mark, to hit the bullseye, you know, when you think about archery, you have a target that you want to hit. You have to keep your own eyes on the target, right? You can't just be like randomly shooting them places. You have to focus and release. And in order to do that, we have to keep our own eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our focus on him. Well, it's Mother's Day, and of course that applies to moms, but it really applies to everyone. If you have an impact on somebody's life, whether you're working in the children's church over here, and I also like to always recognize teachers on Mother's Day, whether they have children or not. Teachers take on a parenting role that we never can comprehend. They help them and adjust them, so I'm really appreciative. If you're a teacher, would you stand up today? I want to honor you. So, whether you're a manager, a supervisor, whatever your job is in the natural world, we all have to be like the Walmart greeter. We have to point people in the right direction, right? That's their job. That was supposed to be funny. I'm sorry. Our target is Jesus, and keeping our eyes and actions on Jesus and becoming more and more like him is an acquired skill, and it's also a form of spiritual warfare. If you know anything about me, we have four sons. Carl didn't mention that, and they are all mighty warriors. I'm so proud of them, and I'm so thankful that God gave me boys. I think he just made me spiritually minded like a warrior because he designed me to have four sons, and we're so grateful. They're such mighty men of God. And let's look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. When the Apostle Paul was suffering in a Roman prison for his faith, he wrote these words, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not against people, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." That's an interesting comment, isn't it? That there's wickedness in heavenly places. Well, where are the heavenly places, and how can wickedness be there? That's what we're going to look at today. Philippians 4:7 clues us in. It reads, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Hearts and minds are the heavenly places where Jesus dwells on the earth, when we invite him in, of course. This is the battleground of our lives. And that's why we're advised to guard and protect our minds and our hearts. Your mind and your heart and your child's mind and heart is the most valuable piece of real estate on the planet. Did you realize that? And God has entrusted them to you and me. I call it real estate because something's going to live in there, and it's up to you to decide what it is. Your thoughts can either be good and life-giving, or they can be negative and life-hindering. Have you ever noticed in a funeral procession there aren't any U-Haul trucks? That's because you can't take what you have, your physical possessions in this life, but you can take hearts and minds with you to heaven. It's called soul winning. And the Bible tells us that a person who wins souls is wise, and that's how we store up treasure in heaven. You see, these are the parts of us that determine not only how we live in this life, but also how we live when we step into eternity. And did you know that what we do here on earth determines what heaven will look like? That's a big deal. Let me say it again. What we do here on earth will determine ultimately what heaven looks like. Did you realize you had that much power over eternity? That's awesome. And did you know that just as God has a beautifully intricate plan to help you succeed in this life, there is also an enemy that has a dastardly intricate plan to destroy you, and he uses the very gifts and talents that God places on the inside of you for his purposes. You only have to look at Hollywood to see that. These people are the most gifted people on the planet, and Satan seduces them into drugs and other things, and it destroys their life. But those gifts were put in them for a purpose. John quotes Jesus in chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, the devil wants to control what heaven looks like too. That's how he exalts himself above God. And he has to use you and I to do it. He has to capture our minds and hearts to steal souls from heaven. And if we take control of our minds and hearts, we render him powerless to do that. That's powerful, isn't it? You can control what heaven is going to look like. Your heart and mind, your soul, is more valuable than any other earthly thing. It's important to establishing the kingdom of heaven. It's also important for establishing the kingdom of darkness. And it's a spiritual battle raging for your soul and the souls of people around you right now. You know, on Friday, Carl and I went to watch Avengers Infinity War. And you know, it was very intense. I'm not going to let out any secrets, don't worry. I see people tensing up, like, don't tell me. I'm not going to tell you anything about the movie, but I will tell you that it was intense. And as intense as that was, it doesn't compare to what the battle that's going on right now for the souls of men. And as a mother, I'd like to mother you this morning. I want to encourage you to be a main character. I don't want you to be one of those random people on the side that's totally unaware of what's going on and they get blown away by a car or whatever, you know, they're taken out. I want you to be a main character in what God's doing in the earth. Don't be an extra. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 1. RJ and Mike, we're cutting up back there. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. God's Holy Spirit can help you have victory in every area of your life. And it's a lot easier when you know who your enemies are and how to defeat them. When you come to Victory's Freedom Group, we help you recognize the enemies of your soul. And we help you move in the power of God to defeat your spiritual enemies. And you can walk in freedom, and you can walk in understanding of spiritual things. For example, one of the most dastardly spiritual forces we face in this life is guilt. You see, there's an abundance of guilt. It's everywhere. And guilt is craftily designed to beat you down and keep you from praying and believing for God's best in your life and the lives of other people. There are all kinds of guilt. There's parenting guilt, marriage guilt, job guilt, multitudes of areas where you think you failed and that you don't deserve to be blessed. And that you didn't measure up. You see, guilt is an enemy of our soul. It's a spiritual assignment. You have to look at it like it's almost a person, and you have to recognize it and take it back. And what its purpose is to keep you focused on all the areas where you fail, and it can tire you out, and it can wear you down. You see, guilt often teams up with other spirits. You know how it talks in the Bible about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken? And we often think that's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and that's true. But there's also, in this dark spiritual world, that's true too, and spirits will team up with other spirits to beat you down. And guilt teams up with shame and fear because it wants to keep you silent about your struggles and help and make you not seek help from other people. That's how it works. You see, its job is to rob you of God's blessings and God's peace. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been robbed, but not anymore. You can catch the thief and you can take back what he's stolen from you. And that's a promise that's in the Bible. See, God is waiting to forgive you. He is waiting to help you walk in freedom and not be beaten down. And be a light unto the world. You know, there's no sin. God just calls it sin. He doesn't rate it that this is worse than the other sin. He just calls it sin, and he forgives it. And he sets you free, and he wants you to walk in that. That's why, you know, I've seen people that have, God has released them from prison for murdering people. And they are the most awesome Christian light. God can change a life and turn it around. And he can use you in a powerful way. So we have to catch the thief. We have to take it back. You only have so much emotional energy for each day. How are you spending it? Are you functioning in God's peace of mind? Are you walking in God's forgiveness and freedom? Whatever you think about will control your attitude, and it will control how you live your life. It's very important. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You have to pray for your spiritual real estate, and it's really very easy. And I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to call Carl up here. This is not rehearsed. I'm going to show you how to pray for Carl's mind and heart and pray for anyone's mind and heart. Okay? Oh, he's excited about this. Okay. God, I just lift up Carl's mind to you. I pray, Lord, that you would keep his eyes focused on you. Lord, that you would help him to take captive bad thoughts and think good thoughts about your kingdom and fulfill his destiny. I pray for his heart, God. I thank you that you've given him the shield of faith to extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. God, I pray that his heart would be tender towards you, that he would serve you all the days of his life, and that he would fulfill his destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can do that, right? That's easy. That's easy. You're done. P.S. God, I pray that he will always be crazy about me. Amen. When you come to Freedom Group, you get that kind of prayer coverage on a weekly basis, not the P.S. part, the other part, and it's awesome. Learning to walk in God's freedom is a lifelong process. The very first scripture I memorized as a young Christian was Galatians 5:13. "For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." 40 years ago, I pulled that scripture out of a Precious Promises box to memorize. And ever since then, God has been changing me. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that he's at work in me. For 40 years, he's been teaching me. And every time we teach a freedoms class, I still get set free from stuff. So I want to encourage you not to think that you arrived or that it wouldn't help you. It will help you no matter where you are in your walk with God. And like Paul instructed the Galatians, live each day focused on God's love for you and his love for others. The Freedom Small Group, I want to tell you a little something about it. This last one was the best one ever. We've changed the format a bit. It's no longer a workbook. Each week you come and we focus on a particular subject. We have a short teaching on that, and then the rest of the meeting is prayer, where you make a list and you write down the things that you need to get right in your life. And this time we had a prayer team of 6 people so that you don't have to wait a long time for prayer. And it was really powerful. And they support you, they encourage healings, and we can expand that number if we needed to. But I really want to encourage parents to come. I know you have children. The way it's set up is so that you can come to a meeting, and then you can trade off and let your spouse come to a meeting and watch the kids. We want everyone to be able to try to come through it, because we all need to walk in freedom in our lives and have that power in our lives. So we're, you know, even if you just came to one, like your schedule is crazy and you're like, well, hey, I'm free this Thursday, I'm going to go to Freedom Group. You could do that and you'd still get something out of the meeting. We want to encourage you to come. So be intentional in your daily lives. Let your prayers and words bring life to people and to family, loved ones, co-workers. How about everybody? Everybody responds well to that, right? Yeah. Another huge spiritual force in the heavenly places is offense. In other words, having an offense against someone or being offended with others. Don't fall into Satan's trap and let an offense set up shop in your relationships. Being offended with your spouse, your child, your parent, your friend, your co-worker is also a spiritual force in the heavenly places. It's designed to cut off your prayers for them and cause dysfunctional relationships and cut off your inheritance and ultimately steal souls from heaven. That's the purpose of it. Remember what we said when we read John 10, chapter 10, that Jesus said? Let's read that together. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Did you realize how much Jesus instructs us about spiritual warfare? It's a real thing. It exists. And it's amazing how many people are like that kind of side character that doesn't know what's going on. It really is going on, and that's part of his deception, is to make you think that it's not, that it's all your fault, that these things, bad things are happening to you because of who you are. You can walk in freedom, and we can help you get there. You can build healthy relationships, and that also includes setting up boundaries for some relationships, because we know many people have a bad situation in their life. And you see, when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean what they did is okay. It certainly doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that you are releasing that person to God and to putting his merciful care, and that allows you to be healed and to let go of the things. I think the first person I heard say this comment was Joyce Meyer, but I don't know who said it at first. It's really good. It says, harboring bitterness and hatred towards another person is like swallowing poison and expecting that other person to die from it. You see, usually when people hurt you, they don't realize they've hurt you. And you being mad at them and feeling bad isn't going to change anything in that situation. I'm currently reading a book, and it's really awesome. It's called Who Stole My Brain? And I'm going to use it in the next Freedom class. And it talks about thoughts and the power of thoughts. It's written by a Christian. And there's a picture of it, and it shows the dendrites in the brain. They're like little trees in your brain. And when you're thinking healthy, happy thoughts, they're alive, and they're flowing, they're growing, and they're big. But when you think negative thoughts, it actually causes them to retract and make little holes in your brain. There's a picture of it in the book. And so our thoughts are very powerful, and we need to take them captive and not dwell on them, especially bad thoughts about ourselves and other people. Let me close with this sober thought. When your final days come, and they will, Carl and I just said goodbye to his mom in October, and all of our parents are gone. We're kind of the oldest in the family now. And I want to ask you, what sort of relationships will you find yourself in at that point? What will be the condition of your heart and mind when you step into eternity? In Proverbs chapter 31, King Solomon writes about God's desire for his church. In verse 25, it reads, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. You see, God wants this for us. He wants us to smile at the future because we're his church. We're his bride. And today's fill in the blank, and our life's goal is, dear God, help me fill my mind and heart with heavenly things. I want to talk about the power of the cross for a moment. I love that final song that the music group did today. Give them a hand. They always do such a good job. I'm really fond of this big old cross over here. You know, God's a fashion designer. He took a symbol of death and made it into jewelry and all kind of things to help us remember. You know, Jesus could have died in an electric chair. That would be an interesting necklace, wouldn't it? You walk around with a little... Oh, well, you'll get it later. Okay. So the cross is a beautiful design because you see the vertical. That's your relationship with God. And then the crossbar is where Jesus spread his arms and he took our burdens and he bore it on the cross. And that power's there for you. And remember, he took a sinner with him to heaven that was right next to him. He'd been saved like that long and he still got to go to heaven. You see, God decides who gets to go. And it's all based on our personal decision. You know, Jesus, he bled and died on the cross, but it's also a door. It's a door to a new life and a fresh beginning. And Jesus died to reconnect you to heaven. And while you're still here on earth, you can have that relationship with him. And because of the cross, you can walk through that door and you can access God on your daily life journey. That's awesome. The blood Jesus shed has the power to break off generational curses, sickness, poverty, and render powerless word curses spoken over you by thoughtless parents, coaches, teachers, and other relationships. He can heal your heart. We can help you with that. You're not alone. You don't have to go through the pain that you're suffering alone. We have outlets to you. And as Pastor Mike said, small groups are starting up soon. I encourage you, find one and participate in it and open up yourself to other people. And because Jesus conquered death and he rose to new life, there's the promise of new life for us. And the promise of heaven and eternal life are available to everyone who will accept. It's a choice. It's a personal choice. It's a personal decision. And it's hard to think about, but if you died right now or on your way home, or in your bed tonight, would you go to heaven? I know that sounds morbid, but you know, when you say goodbye to somebody you love, it puts life in perspective. We are all going to face eternity one day. And one thing's for sure, God wants you there. He's prepared a way for you. Scientists tell us that the universe is currently expanding faster than the speed of light. Imagine that. Earth stays within its boundaries, but yet the universe is expanding. And I can't help but think that God is making room for a big celebration. There's room for everybody. And he says there are mansions up there. Maybe that's why it's so big and it's spreading out. There's a place for you now in God's kingdom and in eternity. And there's plenty of room, like I said earlier. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you not only expand the real estate of heaven, you also invite more of heaven here on earth. Have you ever noticed that when we come together as the church on Sunday, God's presence is stronger? That's because more of heaven is concentrated in one place. It's why when we have our healing services, people get healed, because we come with that intention of, God, we cry out to you, we need your healing power, and God meets us every time. We have so many testimonies of people who were touched in those meetings and healed. It's a noble calling to serve God and bring heaven on earth in our hearts and minds and to others. So I'd like to close with prayer right now. I want to pray over each of you. God, I lift up these fine men and women. I see your potential in them. Help them to make wise choices, open good doors, and make heaven and earth both beautiful places to live. I pray Philippians 4:7 over them, that the peace of God will guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And I pray for those that are here today that want to know you, God, and experience freedom and experience heaven on earth that I've been talking about. Help them to fully open their hearts and minds to you and receive all the good things you have promised to them. And if you're here today and you haven't done that yet, I want to give you that opportunity now. If you feel God tugging on your heart, please don't push that away. Invite Jesus into your life. And if you raise your hand, we'll pray for you. I'll give you a moment to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Heaven on earth starts with a willing heart and a simple prayer. Let's pray together. Everyone help me and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross, for bearing my guilt and shame. I need you in my life. Help me to walk in your freedom. I open my heart and invite you in. Help me be the person you created me to be. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we believe you're going to heaven, and we're here to help you in your walk. I want to leave you with one more scripture. It's my current favorite scripture. 1 Samuel 30:8. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" I told you I was a warrior. And you have to think, this story, David and all his mighty men, their wives and their children have been kidnapped and taken captive. And here's God's answer. "Pursue them," God answered. "You will certainly overtake them and rescue all." And that's our pledge today, to rescue all. Take every heart and mind that we can to heaven with us. Yeah. And make it a beautiful place to live, and earth a beautiful place. Happy Mother's Day. Remember to take these cards with you. Hug your mom. Give your mom a call. Or just remember the sweet things you did in your life. Have a very blessed week. Amen.
Hey, give Brenda another hand.